Greetings and welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE, joined finally, reunited at last, and it feels so good, with Scott W. Dunford, pastor of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. And whether you're watching us online or listening in your favorite podcast app, thank you for being a part of it. Go ahead and like and share and subscribe. And remember, especially if you're a podcast listener, leave us a positive rating and review. Help other people discover the content. Scott, you know, this is the Christmas season. There's a lot going on in all of our churches. It's very hard to focus on anything other than Christmas for those of us that are in local church ministry like me and you.
It takes all
of the oxygen out of the room, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a good thing. But you said something just a few moments ago before we began our recording time here today. You mentioned that the challenge with local church ministry, especially in a smaller church, is when it feels like you're just struggling to scrape by and to survive, is how do you make missions the focus and not just another side program? I'll be perfectly honest, as a church leader, as an elder, I'm as guilty of this as anyone else, that when things are busy in terms of shepherding, in terms of preaching needs, in terms of just keeping the volunteer slots within a church filled. And there's sometimes it feels like it's the same 15 people doing all of the different functions of a church. It feels very difficult to center missions in those moments. It feels more appropriate to not push it to the side, but to at least, you know, temporarily put it on the back burner so that other things can go on the front burner. And I know that's something that you've felt acutely as well, being in a smaller church.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you feel like the cobbler has no shoes. You know, the cobbler's children has no shoes, that phrase of like, here we are doing the missions podcast. And then, you know, in many ways, church revitalization is trying to get a church from, you know, off the operating table to stable to growing and healthy again. And at what point does missions come into that? And we've been doing our best, but I never feel like we're doing enough. And you always feel like it comes at the cost of something, because there's limited time, limited resources. And yet, obviously, you and I believe passionately, both with our dollars, our feet, and doing this podcast every week, that missions ought to be a major part of what we're doing in every church. And so I'm really thankful for our new guests. Some of them I've known about for quite a while, but to have them on the show for the first time, of a new book that just was written, Prioritizing Missions in the Local Church. And so we want to welcome Aaron Menikoff and Harshit Singh to our show. And you guys are coming from two very different locations on the planet, correct?
That's right. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and Harshit is not.
I'm in Lucknow, India.
And Scott, far be it from me to contradict you, which I would never do.
But, I did have
the privilege of interviewing Harshit a few years ago at the Radius conference. It was the year that you couldn't make it and I was alone.
But
now I'm glad that we can do it together. And
I feel like he's a celebrity because of the William Carey, you know, documentary video that missionary.com did. So, you know, I feel like we're interviewing a TV celebrity here.
That's right. This is big names. And gentlemen, you've written a book published with Crossway called Prioritizing Missions in the Church. And we're grateful for more books taking a church-centered approach to missions. But talk to us, what was the moment for each of you? I'll start with Aaron. What was that moment for each of you where you were personally convinced that missions needed to be more than just a program of the church and really actually needed to be the beating heart of the church? What was it that convinced you of that? Because that's a novel idea for a lot of pastors and people in church ministry.
Well, I want to begin by encouraging all those who are laboring to teach kids and adults Sunday school week in and week out, because I distinctly remember being I was probably 29 years old and I was in seminary and I was in Sunday school class, just being there listening to a brother named Riley. And he himself was a seminary student, but he was teaching a class in a course on missions. And at the time, I don't know that I had a particular interest in missions other than just knowing I'm a Christian and I want to see the gospel go forth in power. But in that class, he said, look, either you are someone who is going to be a missionary or you are someone who's going to send missionaries, and there really is no other option. And that Sunday school class stuck in my head. And I was still studying, really training for pastoral ministry. But I remember that when I came to Mount Vernon years later, that I really did want that to mark my ministry, especially if I was going to be pastoring in a place like Atlanta, which is known for being America's Bible Belt, and in a country like America, which is known for a large amount of evangelicals. I knew that stewardship of gospel ministry meant finding a way by God's grace to be a proponent of missions and a sender of missionaries. It would take a while to really figure out more clearly what that looked like, but I credit a Sunday school class. So a shout out to all the Sunday school teachers. You're doing good work.
Mm. Amen.
I mean, for me, having this understanding of the local church being the primary vehicle of taking the gospel forth, I think became clear when I spent time with a guy in the UK for 2 years, a pastor who just showed me the value of just faithful, regular, week in and week out gospel ministry in the context of a local church, and how you influence people and how you embed in their heart and their basically in their DNA to have a desire to take the gospel out to different parts of the world. How a local church, a small church, might not look very impressive from the outside, but if they remain faithful, if they keep teaching week in and week out for a long period of time, eventually you start seeing fruit where people are trained, equipped, sent out to way beyond places that people would ever imagine. I think that was an eye-opening experience for me. And then spending some time at Capitol Hill in DC and just spending time with Pastor Mark Dever and just helping understand how it was always the intention. It was designed in this way for churches to be the primary vehicle of taking the gospel out to different parts of the world. I think that became more clear with my time over there.
So in my background, you know, I'd pastored in Michigan for a while, kind of a medium, well, out here it'd be a large church. There it was kind of a small to medium-sized church that had a rich missions history. 175 years the church had been in existence when I was there. It's up to like 185 now. But I came into a church that was already like all hands on deck with missions. That was one thing. But then now doing church revitalization in the Bay Area, where there was maybe a missions history, but just all the energy goes into just surviving on a day. I know sometimes I just feel like I don't know where all my time went, because I'm discipling, I'm studying, I'm preaching, I'm doing hospital visitation, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, this missions has got to be something that we're embedding into this. So what do you say, or how do you balance those things as, especially as a small church, or even just a church that's very busy and not a lot of time? How do you embed missions into just the normal DNA of what a church is doing?
Well, maybe for me, an indirect way to answer that, because that really is the pressing question. I mean, I think you put your finger right on like what every pastor is thinking about. I mean, most of us didn't go into pastoral ministry, you know, because we wanted to oversee the potluck dinner. I mean, we went into pastoral ministry because we wanted to see the gospel proclaimed and people saved. I mean, that's why we're doing what we're doing. We want to see people growing in Christ, but man, we want to see, you know, we want to see God's churches grow, like numerically with new believers. So we're so passionate about that. At least we should be passionate about that. But my indirect way to answer that question before maybe trying to answer it directly later would be to say, I think our book is really built on a couple of principles. One has already been articulated, and that is that the local church is central to the task of raising up and sending out missionaries. So we want to beat that drum really loudly, because it is so easy for local church pastors in the rush of pastoral ministry to farm out all the work of raising up and sending out missionaries to parachurch organizations. We're all part of parachurch organizations. We love them. They're helpful, right? They're just not the main thing. So the first principle is just being convinced theologically that God would have local church engaged in the missionary task. Now, the second principle is that we need to be in it for the long haul. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ could come back at any time. And I'm longing for his return. I want to be ready. I believe it could be any time. So I know that there's differences of opinion on that, what I just said there. But having said that, I'm also aware that when churches are patiently going about the business of ordinary ministry, if they're doing it well, they are actually engaged in missions ministry. They are tilling the soil of their church's heart to raise up and send out missionaries if they are faithfully engaged in the preaching and praying and singing of the Bible. So I want to stop there. But those are the two principles that, work whether you're a church of 5,000, right, like Spurgeon's Metropolitan Tabernacle, or you're a church of, 80, right? It's your responsibility, and it is through the ordinary means of grace that your church is going to be equipped to do it. That's not everything to say, but that's where I want to begin.
That's crucial. Let me press in on that a little bit. You're talking about the ordinary rhythms of ministry being, in effect, the work of the Great Commission. My question at the beginning, you know, how do we make sure missions doesn't become a side project in the church? Sort of betrays this understanding that says, you know, there's ordinary ministry and then there's missions, and you have to either integrate them or they're separate. But, you know, when I look at what the actual activities of the Great Commission involve, teaching, making disciples, baptizing, and doing so among the nations, it's ordinary local church ministry, just at a global scale. I'm wary when I hear people talk about, like, well, we need more discipleship. And what does that mean? Well, it always looks like mentoring. Well, sure, but isn't the preaching discipling people, right? Isn't the regular participation in the ordinances, isn't that discipling people as well? So what do you make of maybe an approach that would say the regular participation in the ordinary means of grace in the church is the mission, or at least can be the mission, if done with an eye towards the global spread of Christ's kingdom?
I think it'd be helpful for us to, like, even just talk about what we mean by mission. I know we all are on the same page, but I think it would help us to clarify what we are talking about. Is, I think what Aaron and I were trying to talk about is that we cross significant geographical, cultural barriers, or even linguistic barriers, to take the gospel to people who have either not heard or unengaged or difficult to engage, or there are churches that need to be strengthened. I think we talked in those terms. So what Aaron is saying and what you guys are saying, I think it is necessary. We do want to keep saying the same thing again and again, that the local church is important, and we keep doing the mundane, so to speak, things about the life of the church. But in that, as you help people to think about gospel need in their own lives, in the lives of the local church, people around them, but then there's a much bigger world outside, and to have a heart for people out there. And a little thing like incorporating regular pastoral prayer for need for people around the world, and a regular Sunday prayer, or regularly in prayer meetings, even 5 to 10 minutes. And I don't think it's not just an add-on thing. I think it's an essential part of educating the people to think about gospel work, people that they have never heard of. So our church, Brother Aaron has seen who our people are, and a lot of people are not terribly educated and don't even understand most of the world. But last week, I prayed for Christians in Sudan and the church in Sudan, and for the persecuted Christians, and and just telling the church that the majority of people do not know the gospel and they follow the religion of not the true religion, and just trying to help church every Sunday. And then we pray that one day the Lord will raise people from among us who might go there to preach the gospel. And I think just pastoral prayer meetings, and I think those are one good, very practical ways of just starting in the right direction. And it does not have to feel like it's something which is just being added on for the sake of it, but it is the way we start thinking. It's the way it becomes part of the whole perspective. It's gospel for us, gospel for people near us, gospel for people really far away from us. Mm. We pray and endeavor to reach, to remember the gospel here, preach the gospel to ourselves, people near us, and we think, what can we do to get the gospel out there? For our church in India, where we particularly don't have a lot of resources, and I think we think in those terms, and that has been quite helpful for us, at least for me, for our church.
I know that there was some famous football coach, I think it's Vince Lombardi, who taught his football players, his first practice, he would hold up a football and say, "This is a football." Mm-hmm. And that was how he trained his elite, you know, players to begin thinking about football. We need to know what the church is. I mean, not just, you know, Harshit just gave a definition of missions. And if missions is about starting and strengthening churches across significant barriers, like, what is a church? And so I think one of the most important things we do in our book is we define the church. And our definition is, for what it's worth, it's in accord with historic Baptist thought, which we take to be biblical.
Right.
But a church is a congregation of baptized Christians who gather weekly for the preaching of the Bible, the celebration of baptism and the ordinances, the loving of the saints, the evangelizing of the lost, and all this for the glory of God. Like, if your congregation is aware that that is a church, over time, they are going to more deeply understand their need to be saturated by Scripture. And Scripture is a missionary text, right? Well, I think one of our chapters is Bible for the Nations, something like that. I mean, the Bible is about God's name being proclaimed among the nations, right? The church is about celebrating baptism in the Lord's Supper. How do we identify ourselves as followers of Jesus? Through baptism and through the Lord's Supper. That's a pretty simple thing here in America, but you go to some other countries where signaling yourself as a believer can cause great persecution. I mean, all of a sudden, there's a lot at stake to go public with your faith, right? And yet we're committed to that, right, as believers. And we understand as believers that we are to be about the business of, right, all the one another passages in the Scripture. That's the beauty of the church. You know, we're to love one another. By this, all people will know that we are Christ's disciples. So we're inculcated with this passion to be the body of Christ, but it never ends there, because the Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, right? And so we commit ourselves to being that church. And if the Holy Spirit is there, individual members of the church are going to commit themselves. And I think one of the biggest, I've been around a while. I was a young man when this young, restless, and reformed movement began. And
so was I.
Yeah. And I remember these sort of debates between Arminians and Calvinists, and I was a little bit too young. I didn't grow up in the church. This was all new to me. I didn't understand why everybody was fighting. But I, as a very young man, I came to understand that God is sovereign over salvation, and I have to repent and believe. And those two things were not at odds in my thought, but I kept on hearing people saying that this kind of big God theology is going to kill missions. And then I looked at men like John Piper, who just screaming from the top of his lungs, God gets all the glory. He does all the saving. He's writing books on missions. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm in DC and I'm sitting under the preaching of Mark Dever, and I'm seeing this big God theology. And then every Sunday night when we come back to the prayer meeting, people are talking about how they're evangelizing their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Somehow in my lifetime, I have only seen this big God theology drive Christians to go mm-hmm. and make much of God, both in their backyards and overseas. So I guess what I'm saying is both this like Baptist biblical definition of the church and this big God theology, like again, whether your church is 5,000 or 50, you put those two things together, a healthy vision of the local church and a right understanding of God as sovereign, and individuals' lives are going to be transformed. And I've seen that in the churches, you know, in more than one church that I've had the privilege of being a part of.
So getting it practical to how we equip within the local church, you know, like I've got a few guys that I've been mentoring and working with, and some of them are even thinking about missions, but I want to hear your perspectives about you're in a church, you're discipling men for whatever cause, or, and women as well, of course. And how do you see that discipleship be taking into effect where you see them equipped for local church, but also for the nations? It's not really an either or. How do you do both?
Well, I'll certainly say at Mount Vernon, we regularly invite those who might be aspiring to be missionaries to read one book a month and just to think and pray, to go deeper in their understanding of missions. And that reading will include some reading about the church. I mean, if a missionary is to start and strengthen churches, we want to make sure that those aspiring to be missionaries have a really robust understanding of the church. But that monthly missions reading group is really helpful. The second thing that we do that is really helpful is we try to have an open door for visiting missionaries. So we've kind of moved away from the 1 week missions conference. And I almost hate to say that because there's just nothing wrong with that. But what we try to do is sprinkle in throughout the entire year. As we have missionaries visiting, we want to interview them. We want to pray for them. We want to have a missions dessert where we invite interested members to come and ask them tons of questions. We want to love on them as much as we can. So because that's not just 1 week, but it's sort of happens throughout the year, you know, that's a great way to do that. We have members meetings. So at every members meeting, we're highlighting what the Lord is doing around the word, maybe in a deeper way, describing our church's connection to those workers. So those are three very practical ways we keep our foot on the gas pedal of missions and invite members of the church to think more deeply about it.
Harshit, what does that look like for your church? And I'm curious, you know, a lot of what we've been talking about has been theoretically transcultural, but all of us are talking out of an American church context mm-hmm. as well. Of course, we have, you know, a history in the West of the modern missions movement, but what does that look like for your church and for your community in general?
It is actually quite transcultural. It is, I think, the idea of we want to serve the Lord. We want to see the lost people come to know God. We want to see his name glorified. And in order to do that, we, again, I'm going to repeat myself, preach faithfully week in and week out, disciple people regularly week in and week out, help them to have a bigger vision of life, understand who God is, and be willing to pay a price in order to follow this God, to see him honored and glorified. And not all of them, but many of them, or a few of them, or several of them, would eventually understand and or would have a desire to see this gospel go out to other people, and you equip them, train them, invest in them. And again, it's long term. I would say, so we have some, in our church context, we have some formal structures that we put in place for long-term training programs to equip particularly men, to give them more robust theology. As opposed to many people, we are of the view and opinion that we want to give more training, more equipping, more time. We want to give more theology. We want to have give up even better understanding of ecclesiology. And the Lord in the process has already grabbed their hearts to take these things to other people. And we're already seeing that. People are moving out, going to different cultures, mostly within our own country. But we are praying and hoping eventually as the Lord equips us and provides for us outside in different places as and when the Lord does it. So not very different, actually. Very similar things. Regular teaching, regular praying, regular encouraging, putting in some practical programs in place to equip people, to give them more tools to prepare them for the future direction.
I want to ask this question as we wind things down. And then in our bonus segment, I actually want to talk to you a little bit more about what's happening, really happening in India. Obviously, things are not getting any easier for the Christians that are there. And last time we talked about on the show, we got a lot of pushback from some Indian listeners and maybe a few bots as well. Very curious to pick your brains about that for our premium subscribers. But as we conclude, and of course, we want to point people towards where they can get the book. Are there any dangers inherent in all of this? Obviously, all of this sounds good, but is there a danger for a church that maybe gets out past its skis? It's all focused on ministry on the outside, but not enough about shoring up its core on the inside? Or is that really a non-existent concern that we would have? Is that not really a problem in your experience? Speak to that and then remind us where we can get the book. First, Aaron, I'll ask you to start.
I do think it's a danger. I think that we want to be focused on the gospel. So we want to get the gospel right, right? We've got to be a church that is clear that that we are a sinful and fallen people who are deserving of everlasting torment in hell. And it is only because of the love of God on display in Jesus Christ, who died a sacrificial death in the place of all who would ever repent and believe, that we need to beat that drum of the gospel. So number one is never assume the gospel, right? That's the key theological, missiological component. Number two, missionaries are 9 out of 10 times going to replicate what they've experienced. Therefore, we need to focus, local church pastors need to focus on being a godly, healthy, ordinary, normal church, right? A church that understands, you know, the cost of discipleship, a church with shepherds who know how to shepherd the flock, a church that's convinced that God's word is really powerful and true and right, and needs to be rightly preached. So being an ordinary church is always step number one to being a mission-centered church. And if somehow a church wants to graduate above and beyond being ordinary, I mean, they're going to be an awful missionary-sending church, because they're going to send out missionaries who are pragmatic, who don't really know what a church is, and that's not going to do anyone any good.
Harshit, are there any dangers? And then, of course, we'll let you plug the book at the end as well. We've got about a minute left.
I think so. I mean, if somehow our eyes are more focused on, this can become a way of showing yourself off in front of other people as a pride, or we have planted this many churches, or we have sent out this many people, or we've trained this many young men. And that can be a huge problem. And you are, I think, as Aaron said, forgetting the gospel, and forgetting gospel produces godliness and lack of concern for our own godliness and godliness of our own church, and making sure that our own local body congregation is doing well and people are being fed and taken care of, while we are so concerned about things out there. And then the local church body just ends up becoming just a means to attain something that we are so committed to that we forget that our responsibility is primarily to the people that we are given responsibility to. I think that would be one big danger in my mind. Even in my own context, the things that we're involved in, I might forget that I have a huge responsibility, primary responsibility to the people that I am committed to look after them, to shepherd them. And the congregation needs to love one another, learn to do that well as we try to seek to love people outside. Mm.
Well said. And the book is Prioritizing Missions in the Church. You can get that from Crossway. And of course, follow each of these gentlemen. Join us for our bonus segment at missionspodcast.com/premium, or in your Apple Podcasts app, easy for me to say. You can also access the Overtime show there. And we're going to talk about what's happening in India, specifically some of the ethnic conflicts happening in the eastern part of the country. And are they persecution or are they just internal skirmishes? We'll talk about that and more, what it means to be a Christian in this part of the world. Join us there. Again, for your subscription of $9.99 per month, you can get access to that and more. We'd love to see you there. And for the rest of us, the Missions Podcast is a ministry of ABWE. Learn more about how you can take your next steps in the Great Commission by going to abwe.org. And until our next episode, go and make disciples of all the nations. We'll see you then.